Hey everyone, you're listening to a message from Pastor Matt Erickson entitled Malachi. This week, he'll be focusing on Malachi 1 through 4 as we conclude the series God in the Ruins, the Message of the Minor Prophets. Be sure to check out the study guide for this week's message on our website, eastbrook.org/God in the Ruins.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have given so much for us in Christ, that we might have life, that death has been vanquished and defeated, and that because of Jesus, we now have a firm place to stand, belonging with you, joy and forgiveness found in Jesus Christ. Lord, we are aware that all around our lives there are many troubles, and so we pray for those in our congregation who are going through difficult times. Particularly, Lord, we pray for those who are sick right now. We're asking that you, who are the healer, would extend your healing hand to touch their bodies. We pray for those who are discouraged or overwhelmed by the circumstances of their lives and by our world, and ask, Lord, that you would lift our spirits for those of us who are in that place today. So many of us have faced, Lord, so many challenges and changes with our jobs, and so we pray, God, you would provide for those of us who are in need. We ask that you would strengthen those of us who find ourselves pressed to the limits of ourselves and our strength. We ask, Lord, particularly for the medical professionals in our church, that you would give them more strength, more energy, and even more rest, Lord, as they are at the front lines of dealing with the pandemic right now. We think about our nation and pray for the cities and parts of our nation that are being particularly struck by this pandemic of COVID-19. We ask God for your mercy. We ask for wisdom for the leaders all around our country and around the world. And for us too, Lord, right where we are, would you bring a word of power and light and truth right into our lives? Come, Holy Spirit, and lead us into all truth. And give me that grace, Lord, that I pray for every single week, that you would give me grace to grow small and decrease, so that you would grow large in our eyes, that you would increase. We have come here to meet with you, the living God, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, this past week, I took a walk down early in the morning to see the sunrise down by Lake Michigan. And though I wish this picture was a picture that I took myself, it's actually a picture from the International Space Station over the rim of the edge of the Earth. The beauty of the sunrise that I saw was so, so refreshing. It reminded me of this thing that I needed to remind myself of, is that after the dark, the dawn will come. It helped fill my eyes just with light, but also my spirit was lifted in that moment. And we've been in this season of Lent, a season where we have traced the journey of Jesus all the way from Palm Sunday and his triumphal entry through Maundy Thursday and the Upper Room gathering to the cross and the crucifixion of Jesus and on into this time we celebrate now in the resurrection day of Easter. We've been on this journey with Jesus, keeping our eyes fixed on him, particularly here in Holy Week. And at the very same time, we've been over the past several months in a journey tracking the minor prophets, that last grouping of books in the Hebrew Bible. And as we've gone on that journey, we have seen some tremendous themes out of the message of God and who God is. We have seen this, that there's a message of rebuke that God gives for a failed humanity. There's a message of judgment in a world that's gone wrong with sin and injustice. And at the very same time, we've seen a message of hope that has risen up in the minor prophets, a message of hope that's rooted in the goodness of God, in the love and the faithfulness of God, a God who brings his mercy and his forgiveness and new beginnings for a people even after they've been sent off into exile. Many times throughout this journey, we've thought there's some character off in the horizon that the prophets are talking about, a future king, a future Messiah of sorts, as he became known, who would bring forth God's goodness in his kingdom. And so as we've been in Lent and in this journey in the Minor Prophets, we might feel like they're totally separate things, but we're beginning to see that actually these two come together so, so strongly. And where we find ourselves now in the story of Jesus, it meets that expectant hope that we find in the Minor Prophets of that figure, of that one who is going to come, and that hope that's just over the horizon that might break into the earth like light shining out of the darkness. Jesus has been taken through a forced and false trial. He's been arrested. He's been taken to the cross and painfully crucified. His body is taken down and laid in the tomb, quiet and still. And in that darkness of that moment, his disciples may be wondering if all that they had believed about Jesus, if all that they had thought about Jesus was going to be more like a good dream that faded away when they wake up into the harshness of reality. But perhaps they may remember those words that Jesus said, that on the third day, something new would happen. And just maybe they're looking and watching and waiting to see if the sunrise is going to break forth in the midst of the darkness. The prophet Malachi, the 12th and the final of all the minor prophets, brings a message that links both with Jesus' journey to the cross and to the resurrection, as well as with where we find ourselves today. And this is what Malachi tells us. He tells us this, that life involves waiting. And when we're in waiting, we will inevitably encounter our human limitations and even failures. But the waiting can also be a place where we can encounter our God who is unchanging in his character. In fact, Malachi tells us the waiting actually leads to something new. Now, Malachi comes at a time, the last of the minor prophets chronologically. He's likely prophesying around 460 BC. And although we don't know a lot about the exact timing or the exact nature, the biography of this prophet, we do get a strong idea that here is a prophet raised up to prophesy after the near completion of the second temple that both Haggai and Zechariah had talked about. We don't have a lot of direct information, but we do know this, that the word Malachi literally means my messenger or my angel. And so some scholars think that Malachi is more of a title drawn from Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, than it might be of a prophet's name. Regardless, Malachi's ministry comes at a time of waiting. The people have worked so hard. They've given so much to rebuild the temple, this second temple that we've heard about in the prophecies of Haggai and Zechariah. It's basically complete. They've given so much energy after the return from exile, but here's the challenge. All the good things that Zechariah talked about as being over the horizon, they still haven't come. And the people are growing weary and tired of waiting for the goodness of God. They begin to grow weary of looking over the horizon to see, is the sunrise going to come out of that place? And so they go on pause with God. In fact, they actually begin to slide away from God in that time of waiting. They begin to ask questions, where is God? What is God doing in this time? Questions that perhaps we might resonate with even in our own day right here and right now. Waiting can be hard. It can be like standing in the dark looking for a light to come. And although the statement might not be scientifically true, that old saying that the darkness is darkest right before the dawn certainly feels like that's the reality we face into. In seasons of waiting, it feels like the darkness grows even deeper, even darker at the very edges of the dawn coming. It stretches on longer than we would like, than we would expect, and that was actually the experience not just of the people in Malachi's time, but it was the experience of the disciples after Jesus' death. They are waiting in what feels like darkness. That's the way I would guess that many of us feel even right now in this time of the pandemic with COVID-19. It feels like a time of darkness. We're looking for the end, and it feels like the darkness even grows deeper as the full force of that pandemic hits our nation at this time. It's in that sort of atmosphere that Malachi rises up, inspired by the Holy Spirit, to bring a message from God to a people who are waiting. It's not the extreme darkness of extreme suffering, but it is the darkness of nothing. A feeling like God is at a distance, a feeling like God's not here. And the people become apathetic. And in that time of waiting, they wonder, should we stop looking over the horizon? Should we stop looking for God to do something now? And in the middle of that, Malachi snaps them to attention. And he says to them, God is not done. God is not done. He is about to do his greatest work. It's as if Malachi is echoing the words of that great verse in Psalm 130, verse 6. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. Malachi says, watch. God is still at work. And to the disciples waiting after Jesus' death, it's as if that message of Malachi still has relevance for them in that time. It's as if the message of God by the Holy Spirit comes to them and says, God's not done. God's about to do his greatest work. Watch for it. And even to us today, right where we find ourselves, God continues to speak through Malachi to us today and says, I'm not done. I'm still at work. Watch. Even in the time of waiting. Now, as Malachi begins to prophesy in this time of waiting, some of the limitations of humanity begin to be exposed. They begin to surface. And as the people begin to not only go on pause and begin to slide away from God, some of the ways in which they struggle suddenly become very apparent. We can understand that because we're in a time of suffering, where it would be easy for us to go on pause with God. In fact, it actually would be easy for us to slide away from God. You know, our calendars have been changed. Our spring break plans or our summer plans are suddenly wiped right off our calendars. Some of us are experiencing such changes in our lives that it's hard to know which side is up or which day of the week it is. Some of us are experiencing suffering. In our own lives or in people we know, we are encountering the suffering of this time. And some of us are finding ourselves with so few resources or jobs being ripped away, we begin to wonder, where is God? It's easy to go on pause. It's easy to slide away. And it's easy in those times for our human limitations, even our human failures, to just begin to become so apparent. When we go into times of waiting, our human weaknesses, they rise to the surface. Now, in Malachi's time, there were two specific ways those failures, those limitations began to rise up. And the first one was this, that people began to skimp on their offerings and their sacrifices of worship. It says in Malachi chapter 1, verse 13, as God is speaking to the people, it says this, when you bring injured, lame, or diseased animals and offer them as sacrifices? Should I accept them from your hands, says the Lord? You see, the people were bringing not the best of what they had, which is what God was asking for, but the worst of what they had, the diseased, the lame. And Malachi calls the people out for their cheap offerings and sacrifices. But God says in the middle of that human limitation, he's going to actually provide for them. There's going to come a day, he says, when actually his name will be lifted up in worship in the midst of all the nations. Malachi 1 verse 11 says this, God is speaking, my name will be great among the nations from where the sun rises to where it sets. In every place, incense and pure offerings will be brought to me because my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord Almighty. So the first human limitation that's seen in Malachi is just this, that there's a limitation of failure in worship, but God says he's going to actually provide in the midst of that failure of sacrifice. Here's the second limitation the human failure that's seen in Malachi's day that he draws out. It's this, that the leaders of the people, specifically the priests, are failing in their priestly duties. In fact, they're not living up to the calling of holiness that God had given to the tribe of Levi, and instead they're not speaking words. They're not helpful for the people. They're not instructive or truth-filled words, and God, through Malachi, calls them out and says that there's a different kind of priest. In fact, a priest that he will provide, and this is what it describes that priest as in Malachi chapter 2, verse 7, "For the lips of a priest ought to preserve knowledge, because he's the messenger of the Lord Almighty, and people seek instruction from his mouth." So here we have these two human limitations, these two human failures that rise up in this time of waiting. It's the failure of sacrifice or worship, the failure of the priests doing their duty. And God says in the middle of that, that he's actually going to provide for them, both in terms of sacrifice and in terms of right priests. Pay attention to that and remember it, because it will come back to where we find ourselves in the life of Jesus here on this resurrection celebration. But first, go with me to the disciples in the moments after Jesus' crucifixion and before the resurrection, when in their time of waiting, suddenly their human limitations and failures rise up in some of the worst ways possible. I want you to think about Judas, who betrayed Jesus and feels so guilty about what he'd done that he takes his own life. I want you to think about the rest of the apostles. They're gathered for fear in an upper room, fear of the religious leaders of the time. They've locked the door and they are afraid. And in that gathering in the upper room, think about Peter, who knows he's denied Jesus. And I have to think that racing through his mind are so many thoughts of self-condemnation. Those two disciples who walk the road to Emmaus that Jesus encounters, but they don't know that it's Jesus. And as they talk with Jesus, they become representative, I think, of many of the disciples who began to question everything that they had believed about who Jesus was. The women seem to fare the best, because even though they're afraid, they courageously gather spices they've prepared and they go to honor Jesus' body, even though they're overwhelmed by grief. Waiting does that to us. It will bring out our deficiencies, our human failures and limitations, our griefs, our brokenness, our doubts, our insecurities. Waiting will do that to each and every one of us. But Malachi tells us there's more than that that can happen in waiting. It's not just about the human failures and limitations. There is also a potential encounter with God that we can have in times of waiting. Malachi tells us waiting can be an opportunity to encounter God. And so as he's snapping the people to attention and calling them to enter in, he says this: in fact, God is not done. He's about to do his greatest work, so watch for it. Malachi brings into focus four characteristics about who God is that are important for the hearers in his day, but also important for the disciples in that upper room and for us in our day right now. In fact, I wonder if the Holy Spirit began to bring these characteristics to mind for the disciples as they hid in that upper room out of fear. The first characteristic that Malachi brings into focus is this, that God is still loving even in the place of waiting. In fact, the first message that Malachi gets begins with the love of God. This is what it says in Malachi chapter 1, verse 2. "I have loved you, says the Lord." Now we know that love is the very essence of the nature of God. There's no place more clear than that than in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, which the apostle says, God is love. And as we're in this time of celebrating the resurrection, it's not hard for us to remember that verse so well known, John 3, 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Now, if you don't remember anything else that I'm talking about in this message, I hope that you remember that great reality that Malachi calls us back to and the Apostle John calls us back to, that God is love, and even in times of waiting, God is still a loving God. Here's the second characteristic that Malachi brings into focus for his hearers and also for us about the nature of God, and it's this, that God is faithful even when humans are faithless. God is faithful even when humans are faithless. See, the Israelites at Malachi's time had begun to forsake their marriage vows so that they could turn towards some of the other women of the area. And so where God had called for faithfulness in marriage, they forsook that and they began to go in different directions. And that became a sign of a deeper reality that the people were forsaking their relationship with Yahweh God and also beginning to turn towards other gods and idols. Both sorts of this unfaithfulness were not pleasing to God. And we're told in Malachi chapter 2, verse 15, "Has not the one God made you? You belong to him in body and spirit. And what does the one God seek? Godly offspring. So be on your guard and do not be unfaithful to the wife of your youth." God is saying he wants his children, his offspring, to be godly, to be like him. And the reason behind that relates to this faithfulness is something we hear from the start to the end of Scripture about God, that the Lord your God is the faithful God, keeping his covenant, his promises of love to thousands of generations. And so Malachi says, God is loving, but also God is faithful. Even in the midst of waiting, you can encounter the faithfulness of God. Here's a third characteristic Malachi brings into focus in the midst of his message. It's this, that God is just even when injustice abounds. God is just even when injustice abounds. Now, something that we've seen throughout the minor prophets is that God is a God of justice. And in fact, it says that God cares for what's sometimes referred to as the quartet of the vulnerable, the widows, the orphan, the foreigner, and the poor. Now, what had happened in Malachi's day was that the people, after the building of the temple, had started to get back to life as normal. There's a lot of good things about that, but one of the bad things was that the people began to get back into some of the injustice patterns that had characterized them at other times. And God says, this is not good. In fact, in Malachi chapter 3, verse 5, God says this, "I will be quick to testify against sorcerers, adulterers, and perjurers, against those who defraud laborers of their wages, who oppress the widows and the fatherless, and deprive the foreigners among you of justice, but do not fear me, says the Lord Almighty." The people had gone into pause. They were sliding away from God. They were struggling with their faithfulness, but God who is still loving, God who is still faithful, is still the God who is just, and in his justice will care for the least of these. And Malachi says, whether you're the least of these or whether you're the most of these, it's still available to encounter God in the time of waiting, a God who is unchanging in his justice. There's one more category or one more characteristic of God that Malachi wants to bring into focus here in his prophecies, and that's that God is a greatly generous God. In Haggai and Zechariah's time, the prophets had called the people to respond generously, to bring their tithes in so that the temple could be rebuilt. And now in Malachi's time, as the temple is rebuilt, the people begin to push back and become a little bit more stingy in their gifts toward the household of God. Is only accentuated by being in a season of waiting, wondering where God was, and things not really going the way that maybe they had expected to. And so the people begin to pull back and enter into a holding pattern with their giving. And so Malachi has a word from God for them in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, where he says this, "Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it." God is calling the people here to generosity, to bring their tithes and their offerings in, but look at the reason behind that. The reason behind it is that God is so generous that if he were to unleash all of his generosity, the people couldn't hold it in their bank accounts. He couldn't hold it in their storehouses. And so Malachi says, though we are in a time of waiting, God is a greatly generous God. Malachi brings these things into focus. God is loving still. God is faithful still. God is just still. God is generous still. And he's telling the people, even in your waiting time, it can still be a moment to encounter the great generosity, justice, faithfulness, and love of God. Even when you're waiting, you can experience that. And that message carries forward, not just from Malachi's day, but on into the time of the disciples who are in that upper room grieving over the loss of Jesus, can begin to encounter the love, faithfulness, justice, and generosity of God. God is not done with them. And that message carries forward to us today too. In the midst of our uncertainties, our anxieties, our fears, God is still at work. God is not done. In his love, he meets with us. In his faithfulness, he meets with us. In his justice, he meets with us. In his generosity, the God of the universe is unchanging. And Malachi says, look for it, watch for it. God is about to do his greatest work. The book of Malachi ends with six verses in chapter 4 that are worth reading in their entirety, so let me go ahead and read that for you. Surely the day is coming. It will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble, and the day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or branch will be left to them. But for you who revere my name, the sun of righteousness will rise with healing in its rays, and you will go out and frolic like well-fed calves. Then you will trample on the wicked. They will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord Almighty. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the decrees and laws that I gave him at Horeb for all Israel. See, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the hearts of the children to their parents, or else I will come and strike the land with total destruction. Those are pretty strong words. Strong words at the end of Malachi. It says this is gonna come a day. It's just over the horizon, Malachi says. A day that's coming, it's gonna be a day of judgment and purification. And it's also gonna be a day of joy and healing that God brings. It's gonna be a day where the sun will rise over you with healing. It's going to be a day like the days of Moses when the trustworthy truths of God's word were declared by Moses to the people. It's going to be a day like Elijah when the fiery words of the prophets come back into the people's lives. It will be a time when hearts are transformed from the inside out that impacts even our most basic and extended relationships. There's waiting, Malachi said. Yes, that's true, but there is a time coming, a day coming, when God will bring in a new reality. It is just over the horizon. The sun of righteousness will rise with healing in his rays. It's just over the horizon, God says to Malachi. Go and encourage my people with that word of truth and hope. I'm not done. And Malachi then goes to the people and says to them, the day is coming. It's just over the horizon. God's not done. He is bringing forth something new. Watch for it. That word echoes all the way down. The Spirit reminds those first followers of Jesus in that upper room. It's just over the horizon. God is about to do his greatest work. Watch for it. Now, there's an episode in the life of Jesus that is probably one of the most interesting episodes in his entire life. And I'm not talking about the resurrection, even though that's what we're celebrating today. It's a time when Jesus, after recently telling his disciples that his life and ministry would end with death in Jerusalem, Jesus gathers three of his closest followers, Peter, James, and John, and he heads up a mountain with them. And as he goes up that mountain, it says that Jesus was transfigured in front of them. The Greek word that is there is the word from which we get our word metamorphosis. It means there's a total change that happens with Jesus, and it's an overwhelming sight. And as Jesus is transfigured, there are two figures who appear talking with him, and one of them, we're told, is Moses, and one of them is Elijah. Now, it would be wonderful to know exactly what Jesus, Moses, and Elijah were talking about. We don't get that insight into the conversation, but what we do realize in that moment is that the words that Malachi is saying at the end of his book about the time over the horizon, a time that's going to be like the time of Moses, a time that's going to be like the time of Elijah, that it has come to fulfillment as Moses and Elijah at that transfiguration are giving their attention to Jesus, who it says in John chapter 1 is the Word of God himself. It's no longer over the horizon. The new work of God is happening, and it is now. It is now. Notice this with me. Not only is it that truth, but actually two other things that Malachi has talked about the failures of human experience, the failures of human limitations, both in terms of sacrifice and in terms of the high priest, now in Jesus have been brought together. God has truly provided in Jesus the sacrifice and the high priest. Here is Jesus like a new Moses bringing the great instruction of God in his life. Here is Jesus coming and going to the cross and becoming, as John the Baptist says, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. In his life, Jesus supplies the words of God. In his death, Jesus supplies the sacrifice of God. And in his resurrection, Jesus brings new hope from God to a waiting world. As we hear in Luke chapter 24, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Resurrection is the confirmation that God has done his greatest work. Look at Jesus. Or as Malachi says it, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its rays. The waiting time is over. The sunrise is breaking over the dark horizon at the rim of the world. And God is doing a new work, a great work. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Praise God that Jesus, the risen one, is the light of the world. Amen. Let's pray. God, we thank you as we worship and as we reflect on the story that you have been telling since the foundations of the earth, that Jesus has become the final word of God, the sacrificial Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and the risen King of the kingdom of God. And that you've thrown the doors wide open that we, people caught in darkness and facing our limitations, might encounter power and life and light and new beginnings. And so no matter where we are today in this moment, Lord, no matter where we are geographically and no matter where we are internally, we ask that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you would do a new work in our lives. For those of us who have never, ever before reached out to you, God, would you draw us into life in Christ? Would you lead us to the place where we say, Jesus, I need your help and I need a Savior? For those of us, Lord, who have walked with you for a long time but find ourselves perhaps on pause or even sliding away from you because of the waiting, would you strengthen us to walk with you again? Would you renew our hearts and our minds? Would you renew our faith that we might rise up in the power of the resurrection and walk hard after you? And for each and every one of us, Lord, wherever we find ourselves today, would you set us free to celebrate the joy of the resurrection, that Christ has indeed risen. We worship you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Pastor Matt Erickson. At this time, we welcome you to join us at 8 a.m. on Sundays for our weekend services on Facebook, Roku, the Eastbrook Church app, or eastbrook.org/at home. For more information on Eastbrook, please visit eastbrook.org.